It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. Yes, Mary Jo is back from her trip to Japan. We'll show some pictures, talk a little bit about her visit to the land of the rising sun. Also, we'll visit remotely Taiwan, where the Computex conference is going on right now. Lots of new PCs and a whole lot more. Stay tuned. Windows Weekly is next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 520, recorded Wednesday, May 31st, 2017. Digging up Jason Voorhees. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Cloudflare. More than 6 million websites, apps, APIs, and SaaS companies use Cloudflare's services to weather whatever the internet throws at them. For a free online chat session with a Cloudflare support engineer, visit cloudflare.com/twit. And by 23andMe, an online genetic analysis company that helps you understand your 23 pairs of chromosomes, your DNA. Get over 75 genetic reports today and start exploring your DNA at 23andMe.com/twit. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we talk about the latest news from Microsoft. With us, oh, I'm so glad she's back. We had a little portrait of you, Mary Jo Foley.
I saw that.
To take your place, but nothing can really take your place. Oh. Back from...
We refer to that portrait as Mary Jo B.
Because underneath is Jo B.
Jo B.
It was not even a very good paste job, I must say. I think some of Joe B's hair was just popping through the top there. In fact, I know it was.
Yep.
So this is kind of a layer cake of a portrait. Because it started with Joe B, and then they put a blonde wig on him, and now there's... Yeah. You got to work on your Photoshop skills, Alex Gumpel. This is terrible.
It's pretty bad.
You know how when you get new portraits and you put them over the old one, and then over time it becomes like a geological excavation.
Hey, Alex, Can we get on the F key? Can I have a little F key that pops up Mary Jo Foley? That would be.
Oh my God.
How hard is that to do?
Brad Sams, there he is.
Yeah, we need
apparently it's way too easy.
I've been told we need a good clean crop of you, Mary Jo.
Okay, well then.
Can you put a green screen up for just a moment? all right, enough silliness. I have some Microsoft news, and then I realized, boy, am I a moron. I bought a Windows PC. Mm-hmm. A laptop for the week before Computex. What am I thinking?
Oh, well.
Will any of those slick computers announced at Computex be out in the next month?
No.
Oh, good. Okay.
No, I think a lot of this stuff is later in the summer.
I actually
didn't cover any of the specifics because most of it is kind of Me Too stuff. And I mean, that's maybe not the right way to say it. There's nothing like dramatic happening, right? You know, Asus comes up with awesome new Asus computers. Their computers were already beautiful and thin and it's really just attractive, and the new ones are too.
Yeah, it's kind of like the seasonal update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not on your list, but I just wanted to tell you I bought, and this, see, you're going to, I don't know if this is going to make you happy, but I got so mad at Apple for crapping up the MacBooks, and I really wanted a powerful system. And I've been liking, since I got the Studio and the Surface Book, I've been liking Windows 10 more and more.
Well,
so I said, why don't I look at
it's only taken us 10 years of this podcast.
I know. I've come full circle.
Let me ask you a question. I don't know if it's an optical effect, but are the hinges on that computer goldish? Or
no, they're silver, but they're prominent.
Silver.
They're a little more prominent than I would like.
Okay, it's something about the light made them look gold because usually they are silver. Yep. Okay.
So this is a Lenovo ThinkPad. This is the X1. I wanted an X1 Carbon for a long time, but you know I kind of like this 2-in-1 form factor of the Yoga. So this is an X1 Carbon Yoga. So it folds all the way over. Mm-hmm. And the other reason I bought it, remember I asked you, you perhaps mm-hmm. weren't taking me seriously. Which one is it that the keys suck up into the inside of the?
Yep.
And this is the one that they call it the Wave keyboard. It's a little strange because it gives you a little hiccup in your giddy up when you're moving the the screen because it's got to you know, kind of engage the keys and draw them inside. And I'm sure it'll break. But I like it. I really like it. The other reason
I think what
I
would have said at the time, because I asked them about that, and I asked HP about that. And I said, you know, come on, everyone's so concerned about the keyboard at the bottom, but that's not really a big issue, is it? And they said, actually, it's a huge issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
this has little, if you look at it, it has little stops in the corners that are actually, that become the feet. So the keyboard withdraws enough so that these little, they're not very high, but they're enough to become the feet, which I like.
Yep.
I love the OLED. And I love the touchscreen. That was ultimately the real reason that I said, I'm giving up on you, Apple. Touch makes sense. You saw I use the fingerprint readers very quick. Uses Windows Hello. They are now using the Windows trackpad instead of the Lenovo trackpad.
Yes.
And that's much better. Boy, is that nice. And it's
precision.
It's probably the best key. I mean, it's not the old Lenovo keyboard, but the old ThinkPad keyboard. But it's a pretty darn nice keyboard. I feel pretty good about it.
Yep.
So all in all, I'm very happy. Battery life is a little disappointing. They say 15
hours. Which display, did you get a 4K display?
Yeah, it's 4K OLED.
Yeah, that's why. That's going to cut battery life by 2/3.
Yeah.
Yikes.
They say 15 hours.
By 1/3.
Depending on the, you know, spec. They don't actually spec it out specifically for that. But if I put it in battery saver, which by the way, I pretty much do because it seems no reason not to. It isn't noticeably slower. I'm getting about 4 hours per charge of heavy
work.
That's
actually not, that's not great, though.
It should be better. And it's three without the battery saver. That's a little disappointing. I can't charge it. The other thing I love about it that Apple just refuses to do, it's got ports. Thank God it's got ports. It's got three USB 3 ports. It's got two Type-C and Thunderbolt 3 ports. Type-C power. And unlike the HP that Mary Jo and I have, you could power it with any old Type-C adapter. You need enough wattage, but like the MacBook adapter works fine. It also has full-size HDMI on this side, which is great. I wish they didn't do this, but I understand why they did. They put a proprietary mini RJ45 Ethernet port on it, so you have to buy their dongle.
Well, I mean, you could still use a normal USB.
You totally can. Ethernet. Or Thunderbolt. Yeah. In fact, I bought a Thunderbolt adapter, which is just as fast. And then the other weird thing, because I got the OLED screen, I can't use the WAN. I can't use the SIM, but it does have a SIM card slot. And then I didn't read it very carefully. I thought it had an SD card slot. It has a micro SD card slot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's because it's got to make it small, right? I don't know what I'll use it for. But I'm really, so far, loving it. This is going to be for my trip.
I like the material in that, too, and it's super light.
It is. It's under 3 pounds. This is the one. This is going to be my Lightroom photo editing computer. But I also downloaded a bunch of stuff on Netflix because I can do this in the plane. And with I now have a 4K 14-inch screen that I can watch movies and stuff on.
Nice.
Tented, right?
Tented.
Tented.
It lays flat, too, so you get that kind of awesome thing where you can stand it up in front of you on a plane if you want to.
Right. The only thing is weird. It's 16.9. I really like the 3.2 that Microsoft does. When you're reading something, a web page in portrait mode, you just,
Well, you know, so here's what's interesting about that. I've talked to PC makers about 3x2, and I don't know why they're not doing it, but one of the big design trends that those guys are doing on that particular machine that Dell did with the XPS 13, obviously, that HP is doing on their new machines, is these kind of near bezel-less displays.
Yes.
And the only way they have to go in that same form factor now is to actually go 3x2, which would just fill the rest of the space. And it would provide you with more room vertically.
I know. I wish.
Which is where you need it for reading. It'd be perfect.
Would be nice.
Yeah. I'm thinking I bet some of these companies do it.
I mean, I have to say that I think for, you know, 16.9 is great for video viewing. And, oops, that's the wrong. It's a very dark movie. Here it is. this is a 4K video.
Yeah.
And this is going to be great. I don't know what's happening. Is it not playing? Yeah, there it is. This is just going to be really great for.
Don't ruin it for me, Leo.
It's just the credits. Well, I'm ruining it for you because they brought back the old credits, so now you know. Spoiler alert. We're talking about House of Cards, which I've downloaded Thank you, Netflix.
Nice. So you can watch stuff like that.
Yeah. We were watching, we started episode one last night, and Lisa said, why don't we just watch this on the plane? Okay.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yep.
So I didn't mean to hijack this fine show, but I just wanted to show you my new baby.
Well, at least it's not a MacBook.
I know. Yeah. Could have been worse, right?
You know, so,
I have bad.
I mean, I noticed
you
haven't put Linux on it yet or anything. So,
no,
I mean,
I'm giving my old MacBook to Karsten because he broke his. And I still have a MacBook. You know, obviously, I'm not going to be, I have to use Macs. But this is a Linux machine. This is a Windows machine. I think the world is changing. This is an old Dell that's running Linux. The world is changing. And Apple, I think, is really abandoning desktop computing, which is very sad. So this is the second generation X1 Yoga. You don't want to know the price. As configured about 20.
Well, with that screen, it's going to be 25, 26. 20.
Boy, you nailed it. Very good.
Yeah. Very good. No, I have a non-Yoga, non-4K X1 Carbon.
That's
it. That doesn't have touch, and it's a little annoying, actually.
I had to have touch. Oh, I didn't mention.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
I didn't mention rechargeable pen. And it doesn't need a pen loop because the pen goes right here. Although it's not as good a pen as the Microsoft.
Yeah, because it's so small
it's
and
teensy.
Thin.
But it's kind of a little charging thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, yeah, it doesn't erase. You have buttons on. It's kind of, I mean, I'm spoiled by the Microsoft pen. That's the way to do a pen. But you don't need a pen loop for this. So. See that?
How long is your flight?
It's not that long. You just came back from a very long flight, right? How long was your flight? 20 hours?
Coming back was hell. I came back through Seattle because I flew out of Seattle. So it was 9.5 hours from Japan to Seattle and then six more to New York.
Total. So it's not too bad. It's like 6 and 6 because we fly to Miami.
Yeah.
And then from Miami to Lima, Peru. And so it's like 6 and 6.
Mm. So, but that's pretty good.
I would go to Asia more if I lived on the West Coast.
Yes.
You would.
The direct flight stuff, I think.
It's easy.
I mean, 9 hours is tough, but if it's direct.
It's not so bad.
It's not too bad. 9 hours to Europe would be terrible because that wouldn't be direct, right?
Well, see, I'm jealous. Right. You get to go to Europe.
Yeah.
And it's easy for you to go to Europe. It's as easy for you to go to Europe as it is for me to go to New York. And I'm jealous about that. I love that.
Well, that's why we do it. I had gone to Microsoft so many times one year. I said, God, it seems like we should be able to fly to Europe in the amount of time it takes me to get to Seattle. And you do one of those radius things on the map and Shannon pops up. And I said, let's go to Ireland.
There you go.
You know,
Ireland, it's the Seattle of the East.
Yeah,
it is in weather ways and many other ways.
That's right.
All right. So you, Mary Jo, were in Japan. I didn't realize this before.
Yeah, 4 years ago I went.
Same kind of trip, or?
Yeah, it was vacation. This last time I went by myself, and this time I went with a couple of friends.
And on a tour this time, right?
Yeah, it was. This trip was so different. It was 2 weeks for one thing. The last trip was 10 days, but just technology-wise for me, this trip was so different. I got to use Google Fi on this trip, which Paul
isn't that a revolution? Is that
it was unbelievable?
Yeah,
I could use data everywhere in Japan that we went the whole time,
and I bet it was fast.
That's awesome.
It was fast. I shared it with the other two people who didn't have any data. I never even approached the limit on my plan, even though I used it constantly.
Well, Fi is $10 a gigabyte, right? You just keep using it, and it's the same price in the U.S. as it is in Japan. So,
I'm
bringing Fi to Peru and Ecuador.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. You can use it there.
And that's going to Tokyo. And I'm sorry, not Tokyo. I'm doing a similar tour, a talk tour of Japan in the spring.
Oh,
so
cool.
I'm going to get it. I looked at your pictures. You took a lot of pictures of food.
Well, I did.
By the way, from the outside, that was the big difference between this trip and the last trip. Because I remember you went to Japan and I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait to see photos. And then I waited and I waited and I waited.
Yeah.
And, you know, I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, this time you could actually post photos because you were just online.
Isn't that cool?
I could. Yeah,
isn't that cool? Nice.
The other thing that Leo, you're gonna use this a lot, and I used it constantly, was Google Translate, the offline version.
Well, that's your Vietnam vacation. I got the wrong one. Let me go to.
Let's see. Yeah, I put some photos on Instagram and I put some up on Facebook the other day. But
there's a sway, right?
Yeah, I made a little sway on Facebook.
I love how these sways look.
Yeah. But Google Translate, this was another thing that I didn't really have because I couldn't use my phone the last time I was in Japan. This time I could. And whenever I went to a restaurant, because I'm mostly vegetarian, but I eat seafood, and I would just like put that into the translation thing and show the server, and they'd be like, oh, okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And did you take pictures of, like, because they also will translate menus and stuff. Did you use
that? Yeah, so that was fantastic. You could take your phone and just hold it over a menu, and you didn't even need to take a picture. It was translating it in real time while you just held it over the description. It was fantastic. I was telling Paul, it was really funny because a lot of people who are working in restaurants in Japan knew about Google Translate and what it could do. So they would just grab the phones out of our hands, pull up Translate, say something in Japanese, and then have it tell us what they were trying to tell us.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It was great.
Yeah, that's excellent.
That's like an ad for Google. It's kind of what you imagine.
Yeah.
Can I show your sway, or is this private?
Yeah, go ahead. Nope, there's nothing in there that can't be shown.
Yeah. Mostly it's pictures of food that makes me so hungry.
The beginning, I did some food and some transportation pictures. I did a bunch of different things.
It's really good. And sway is beautiful. I just really love how this comes up. I should probably do sway of my trip.
I know. It makes it nice because you don't have to know how to use any special programs. You just load your photos in and you hit remix and it gives you all the different.
All you did.
Yep.
And you added some text, which was nice. What is that green? Wasabi?
Text.
What is that green stuff?
No, that was matcha dessert. Yeah.
Oh, I love matcha.
It was like a sticky dessert.
Look at these Snoopy cookies.
Yeah, they were cute.
So funny. And you went to a bunch of temples?
Yeah, we went to a lot of World Heritage sites throughout Japan.
Yep. I like it that they put aprons on their statues.
How come they're hanging the laundry out?
Oh, is that it? So you divide it. So here's transport.
Yep, I showed some of the ways we get around. It was great. We used Japan Rail Pass, and then we went on the buses, and they have something that's like the Metro card that you can buy, and you can use it. What's cool is you can use it on buses and trains and everything, but you also can use it to buy drinks and machines, which is cool.
Did you stay at a ryokan? It looks like you might have stayed at a...
Yep, we stayed in a couple.
Oh, how fun.
Sleeping on the floor looks fun, but it's not fun after a few days.
Well, imagine a futon on the floor. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, man. At one point, I was like, I can't stand up. My leg is numb.
I fell asleep in bed. Wow. These are great pictures.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
really neat. And by the way, I hate to admit it, but you took them all with a 6P, right?
I did. Yep.
A Google phone using Fi.
I know. I feel like I'm a Google poster child this week. I used all the Google stuff.
Well, you got to use what works.
I know.
Yep. That's the thing. I mean, they've really, and after Google I/O, I mean, you really see this kind of compelling.
I know.
And it's slow. It's not like big reveals every five minutes.
So you missed this because you were away last week. I had that conversation with Megan. You know, Microsoft did their Build conference, and there was some good stuff there, obviously. And then Google did I/O, and I watched and I rewatched those keynotes back to back. And all I could think was, like, Google is just, they're just kind of nailing them all, like, one at a time. It's all like really specific product stuff that makes sense that real people will need and want. And I'm very troubled by what I see on the Microsoft side right now.
I have to say, I'm a little troubled because I see Google eating the world.
Yes.
And
And
I'm a Google fan, I mean, and you see, and I'm with you, Mary Jo, like Google Translate and Google Fi. But pretty soon it's like Google this, Google that, Google everything.
Yeah.
I know, but it works. That's the thing.
It works.
I remember a week or so ago I was thinking through, like, what's the central issue that we have here, aside from we don't want one company to dominate everything. Mm-hmm. I think one of the reasons that we like Microsoft, certainly for me, is that they're selling you something very directly. They make a word processor, you use it, you pay them to use the word processor. It's a one-to-one relationship. You're paying for the service you're receiving. Everything with Google is kind of implicit, right? They're kind of taking some of your personal information, they're selling it to advertisers. 90% of their revenues are coming from ads. And I think a lot of us have a little issue with that, have a big issue maybe with the privacy implications. But you know, I have to say, at least they're using this power for good, right? There's a whole don't be evil kind of thing around Google, which I find kind of pukey. But the truth is they are releasing tremendous personal computing products and services.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have to.
That's what's scary.
They don't have to.
But it's compelling.
Are.
And that's what's scary.
Yeah.
You know, it's I go willingly into this maw, but I fear that the alligator at some point will close his jaw.
Yeah.
But boy, sure. I mean, look, I mean, and the thing that's really interesting is every single thing you did in Japan, Mary Jo, Google was able to track you, add it to the database of Mary Jo-isms, you know, I mean, I don't think their goal is anything more intrusive than making advertising to you more to your liking, frankly, to your interests. Mm-hmm. That's really what they're trying to do. But boy, they do have a lot of data about us.
Yeah, I know. Every photo was stamped with exactly where we were, when we were there. And then they even, I don't use Google Photos really. I use OneDrive more for my photos. But Google Photos was taking my pictures and creating like panoramas out of things.
You end up wanting to use Google Photos.
I know. Then I'm like, oh, that came out really nice. Maybe I should use that.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Come on in. Google the water's photos, fine.
It does that a million times better than OneDrive.
Yeah.
Well, and the new lens features they announced, there's going to be all sorts of reasons you're going to want to use this.
Yeah. David Painter is asking me on Twitter right now, did I try Microsoft Translate? I did not, but somebody else who was on the trip with me did use that. And we all agreed that Google Translate was doing better than Microsoft was.
Did it make like a sad balloon deflating sound?
Well, it wasn't as quick, and it also, I don't think it had as many of the features offline that Google Translate did.
And it doesn't tie to Maps. Well, I guess you got Bing Maps.
Yeah, we were using Google Maps.
The problem is, I didn't even know Microsoft had a Translate. Google Translate is such a default. Sure. Even on an iPhone,
you have just reached the tip of the iceberg of the problem that is Microsoft losing mobile. That they don't have this natural audience out there
in your face
that will just get all their new stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a huge problem.
Yeah. It's hard to compete when you don't when you're not the platform.
And Microsoft knows this better than anybody. The bundling, the natural, bundling capabilities that you get when you own the dominant platform.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And who knows that better than Microsoft? For years, they were the dominant platform. And they must, with kind of some sadness and regret, feel like they've lost that, opportunity there. Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I brought you all down. But
by the way, this is basically all we talked about last week. This is a big thing. And Apple's thing has not occurred yet. WWDC may reset this conversation somewhat. But
no, it won't.
I just looked at the Google stuff and I frankly, it's alarming how right-minded it all is. The Google Home thing, right? When they announced that last year, I thought it was going to take over the world. They released it and it was garbage. They've improved it so much in 6 months. And they just announced things like free hands-free calling from your house.
Yeah, that's mind-boggling.
That does for us multiple old users folks. And will do caller ID based on who's calling. Seriously. They just get it. Yeah. It's, you can hate Google all you want, but...
Well, no, it's funny. I love Google, and this makes me more afraid than ever.
I don't mean you. I mean one. Can.
One. No, I know, but I'm just. But that's my point. Is that I'm now worried because that kind of dominance has a.
Well, there's never been a case in the tech industry where a dominant company abused their power. I don't. I don't think we need to worry about that.
That doesn't happen. Thank God.
Everyone cares about the customer first.
Right. Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Let's talk about Computex. But before we do that, would you mind if I mentioned our fine sponsor, the people who make this entire operation possible? The folks at Cloudflare. They do so much stuff. We've been doing the ads, and I talked to the Cloudflare rep, and she said, you're talking about too many features. I said, well, you have to. You've got all these features. So... Cloudflare, of course, very well known for their DDoS mitigation. No matter how big or small your site is, suddenly you get hit, whether it's through popularity or bad guys, Cloudflare will, for the same cost, you know, they don't even, you know, and some people would say, oh, well, we're going to charge you more now that you're so popular. For the same cost, will provide you with DDoS protection. But they also run a internet firewall service. In fact, one of the reasons Cloudflare offers free Cloudflare subscriptions is because they want you to use Cloudflare on your blog or your website, because that way they get more signals about what's going on in the internet and they can improve their product. But that's just, it's also a CDN. They have more than 110 servers all over the world, bringing your content closer to your customers, which speeds up your performance. Performant DNS, caching, content optimization, load balancing. How can I not talk about all the stuff Cloudflare does? It's just, it's a great company. And if you have questions about Cloudflare, I want you to go to cloudflare.com/twit and get a chance for free to talk to Jameson Sundell. He's the greatest guy. I love Jameson. Love his accent, love his smarts, and he will answer your questions about Cloudflare. And this is free, and only because you're listening to Windows Weekly right now. So go to cloudflare.com/twit. No matter what you need, cloud on the net, for whatever your site's doing or your app, join the 6 million websites, apps, APIs, and SaaS companies that use Cloudflare. I didn't even get into how Cloudflare helps you eliminate getting locked in your cloud computing platform. Prices range from free to $20 a month to $200 a month. But look, find out more at cloudflare.com/twit. Great people, too. We know them very well for years. Been friends with them. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, neither one of you spent any time in Taipei this week. Shocked. Shocked. Why don't you just stay in Tokyo, Mary Jo? You could have just hopped over.
I should have. Didn't think of it.
No. Oh, well. it's got to be a hard show to go to, but it is what is it? It's a hardware manufacturer show, basically. The Taiwanese companies.
Yeah. How do they consider it? Do they consider it a place where consumers go? No, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No.
But the timing is good, right? This is back to school season type stuff, or at least holiday. Yeah. It's better than a CES for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they kind of show off things that are coming usually by year end, if not early next year at Computex. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft had a keynote at Computex early this morning. It was not live streamed or blogged or anything, but there they did talk about some of the Windows 10 on ARM PCs that are coming.
Oh, they call them always connected, right?
Yeah, they're calling them always connected. And that brand, always connected, refers to both Intel-based and ARM-based PCs that have LTE and now eSIM technology that are going to be coming.
What makes it always connected? Is it just a WAN? Is it just LTE? Or?
Yeah. It's like you can buy a data plan using the eSIM technology and manage it through the store for Windows 10, right. I believe.
What is eSIM?
It's an embedded SIM.
Right. Built-in SIM, electronic SIM.
Remember when the iPad does this, basically.
Yeah, and it's a problem on the iPad because when AT&T gets a hold of the SIM, they lock you in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this is a different, it's a standard, and it the point of this is that can't happen. So you can switch carriers and all that stuff.
Yeah. Right, so until today, we didn't know which vendors were going to be making the first Windows 10 ARM-based always connected PCs, but now we know. The first group are going to include Asus, HP, and Lenovo, Microsoft said. They also listed the carriers and mobile operators that are going to support this. So there's AT&T, British Telecom, Vodafone, Orange, a whole bunch of them. They did have China Mobile as one of the companies listed, but they've taken them off the list without saying why.
Thank you for that, because I got a complaint from someone at Microsoft's PR firm who said, they said, I don't know where you got China Mobile from, but if you could remove that from your little list. And I was like, guys, You think I added China Mobile to the list? I obviously got
just made that up.
No, it was really, it was kind of weird the way it was phrased. Yeah. But anyway.
No, yes, Verizon.
China Mobile was on there.
Yep. No Verizon. Not too surprisingly.
Yeah, they don't get along so well, do they, Microsoft?
Not so well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, what's interesting is I'm curious when these are coming, because when Qualcomm had its last earnings call, they said by Q4 of this year, there'd be Windows 10 on ARM devices in market. But then today, when I asked for an update, they said soon. And I said, so does that mean Q4? Does it mean sooner? And they said, we have nothing more to say. And in their blog post about this, they
very
say...
Sean Spicer of them.
I know.
I answered your question. Asked and answered.
In the blog post, when it talks about the operators, it says coming within a year.
Yeah, I don't actually think the story on this has changed. I think we're going to see one or two devices this year, very late. But then it's really going to happen throughout 2018.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Yeah. So
I like this idea. I really like it. Well, you know, I have mixed feelings, and I notice a lot of Google stopped putting. In fact, I don't think any of the Chromebooks have LTE. Right. And I think the theory is, well, you already have an LTE device and you just hotspot it.
Yep. And then you tether it to charge the phone, so you don't have to worry about that. Right. And what's the big deal?
Do you remember, Paul, you probably remember this. When Microsoft introduced, which Surface was it that had LTE? The 3? LTE built in. And a lot of users were asking for Microsoft to come out with more surfaces with built-in LTE. And I remember them saying to me, we're not going to do that because we don't really think that's how people use these devices and no one really wants it. Mm-hmm. And now here they are, right? So I guess
things change, you know.
Things change,
Project Fi on one of these devices would be interesting, right? Because you don't pay for it unless you use it and... That's kind of cool. I mean, I think the big problem with the SIM stuff in devices like this has always been that you pay for it, basically, right? I'm sure there are exceptions to that. I know there are pay-as-you-go type things. But, you know, for a long time, this stuff was very expensive, and it was, a minimum or a fee or, like, just a fee every month. And unless you know you're going to be using it regularly that way, and I don't think a lot of people do, it's expensive.
I know. Yeah, I've had people say to me they wanted the built-in LTE because they couldn't get a good cell signal at their home, so they couldn't tether their phone to their PC. There are a lot of things like that, but I'm curious how this will work and what the data plans are going to look like.
It could be the work is paying for it, and you want it separate from your home phone. For that reason, it's just easier if there's direct billing. There are always reasons, but I still don't see this as a big deal.
Yeah. They didn't show off any of these ARM-based devices during the keynote, as far as I know. So, you know, people are saying we haven't seen benchmarks. We don't really know what these things look like. We just have the list now of vendors and people supporting that.
PCs. This is not going to be like when you buy a hybrid car and it's really ugly for some reason. I think HP or whoever will basically sell some number of models that are the same, just like they do today between AMD and Intel chips.
Yeah, probably.
We know what the performance hit will be in ARM? Or will there be?
7. It will be 7.
7. That's a good number.
No, we don't know. I mean, I bet it varies by app even. It's going to vary by workload. Yeah. It's, you know.
And then there's going to be emulation, right, to run non-store apps on this. And Microsoft has said that there won't be a performance hit, but we haven't been able to see that so far in real life.
I don't know a lot about this, but for example, I know that on with the Samsung Chromebooks, there's a Plus and a Pro, and one is Intel and one is ARM. And they both have a performance problem in one area. The ARM version runs Android apps really well, but it's kind of slow running native Chrome stuff. On the Intel version, it's the exact opposite. The Chrome stuff works great, but then the ARM apps or the mobile apps, the Android apps don't work well.
Oh, that's interesting, huh? Mm. That makes sense.
It has to kind of be like that a little bit, right? I mean... the trick is that the basic experience works, and that the stuff you need, whatever it might be, maybe you need, Microsoft Office is a bad example. Maybe you need Photoshop or something. And for some reason, if that works well enough for you, mm-hmm. you know, then it could be okay.
Yeah. Also, you probably remember when Microsoft first announced they were doing Windows 10 on ARM late last year, Terry Myerson said to me, we're going to have this work on 6-inch devices. I think he said 10 yeah. and 14. Yeah. The only devices that have been talked about so far, including at Computex, are PCs. Nobody's talked about a phone running this. And Myerson also said to me that the emulation wouldn't be on the phones. So it sounds like you could potentially have an OEM make a phone running Windows 10 on ARM, but it wouldn't have the Intel emulation.
I think we're mixing things up there. I don't think that's exactly right. Yeah. I think when he said phones, he just meant Windows 10 mobile. In other words, we're not bringing the x86 emulation stuff to mobile. I think that's what he meant. Because he told me specifically that phones were not part of this right away. You know, that we'll see what happens in the future. But this first gen, there's no phone. You know, they're PCs.
Yeah, the 6-inch device, whatever that you want to call that, phone, mobile device, whatever, that's not supported yet. You're right. That's going to come later. But it's going to be, supposedly is in the plan and is coming.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But we have something in here somewhere, I think, about, some mobile stuff. We'll talk about that later. Yeah. But, you know, Microsoft's mobile story is it's not great.
Right, I was waiting for your adjective.
yeah, I'm not sure how to say that. You know, it's a little confusing.
Okay. I don't know if we want to say anything about the mixed reality headsets they showed off.
Yeah, those are kind of cool looking. But, is this HoloLens? What is this?
No, this is the thing. The more you learn about stuff, the more disappointing it is, you know? And when this was first presented, right? Back before it was called Windows Mixed Reality, what was it called before? Windows Holographic or something?
Yeah, Windows Holographic.
If you think about that name, or you think about the name Mixed Reality, both of those things suggest that this thing will be something like HoloLens, right? It's not, you know, normal to expect it to be a full HoloLens experience, but surely it's more than just VR. And it's not really, right? These are VR headsets with one addition that makes them different from a traditional VR headset. And that is that the tracking functionality, which to date on PCs has been through external sensors that, you know, maybe are on poles, you put them up in the corner of the room or whatever, HTC Vive or Oculus Rift, for example, are integrated into the headset. And so it does that positional tracking kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. But it is a VR headset. Your vision is occluded, if that's the right term. You only see what's in the, you know, you can't see the world. So it's not like HoloLens, which literally mixes virtual and real realities. It's just VR with built-in tracking. So it's just VR is the way to say it. It's more, maybe more advanced in this one way than most VR. It's more advanced than phone-based VR because they don't really have that in the phone solutions. Right. But it's really just VR.
Mm. Do you know, I was thinking about this the other day because a number of people at Build tried on the new mixed reality headsets and said, it's VR. Like, I don't get why they're calling
it
something else.
That's right.
But do you remember the promotional video they did when they first renamed this to mixed reality? Because what they showed in that was people wearing HoloLens and people wearing these mixed reality headsets being able to see the same things simultaneously. But that's not even possible, right? I mean, how could you?
Yeah, there's a Windows mixed reality platform that used to be called Windows Holographic that does present a variety of capabilities, but there's no real crossover between from HoloLens to these things. So the mixed reality headsets are at the low end of the scale and the HoloLens is kind of at the high end of the scale. HoloLens is completely untethered. The computer's in the device. It's not, doesn't rely on a computer. And it does do that, what we used to call augmented reality thing, you know, that, but yeah. So it is possible to write an app that you could all participate in it together. But the things you would see, I would have to think, would be slightly different, because with the HoloLens, you probably are always going to see the real world as well.
So this is okay. See, when I hear mixed reality, I think virtual. I mean, augmented reality,
right?
Because mixed is mixed the real world and the virtual world.
Yep.
So I think that they're misnaming this. This is no. Like the Daydream or the Gear VR. This is a VR headset.
My point. And if you call them on this, which I've done, what they'll tell you is that it does bring forward this one innovation from the HoloLens, which is the onboard positional tracking stuff. And that's fascinating, but I don't think that makes it mixed reality.
No, that's what other Vive does that, and that's a VR headset.
Yep.
You could build it to the headset. That's what Google.
There's a rich history of misrepresenting the capabilities of this platform,
and
I find it alarming at every step. You know,
I really do wish they wouldn't.
The other thing is, it's 2017, and so these things are going to appear at a cost of like $300 probably. There was some notion of there being almost a gradient from the cheapest MR headset all the way up to the most expensive HoloLens, and that there would be these interim capabilities. And there aren't, not really. It's possible that a higher-end device with a higher-end PC might deliver a higher-resolution VR experience. Anyone who uses VR on a phone or elsewhere knows that your computer may be, or whatever it is, might be capable of 4K, but when you put the headset on, it's like a YouTube 320p video all of a sudden. That's going to be an issue, especially on the cheap ones. I don't know. Unfortunately for Microsoft, when it comes to VR, the phone-based stuff is so inexpensive that if you want to experiment with it, that's the easiest way to do it, the cheapest way. And unfortunately for Microsoft, with things like Project Tango, speaking of ways in which Google kind of gets it, it's really cool to be able to walk around in the real world with your phone and be able to see augmented reality on the phone while you're interacting with things in the real world. And the kind of suddenly canonical example of this is when you go to a museum and maybe in front of you is a dinosaur or a skeleton, and you hold up your phone to it and you see what the dinosaur would have looked like in real life. And that's really cool. You can't do that with HoloLens unless you're locked in a room at NASA or somewhere, you know, where they have expensive equipment, because HoloLens is not a consumer device. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Everyone depressed yet? Because I got
I'm not depressed, but it's just it's like, why do you call it what you call it? You should call it what it is.
We also still don't know how much. I guess we have a ballpark on how much these are going to cost and when they're coming out, right? But we don't have exact details on that, do we?
That's right. No, we don't.
On any of these.
Right.
We keep seeing new headsets from different vendors. Like they showed off Dell, and I think, who was the other one they showed off at Computex
Asus
that was new?
Acer?
Yeah.
One of the two.
They're
cool looking. I mean, they're nice.
Yeah, they look nice, you know.
But, you know, that's like saying the outside of your car is really attractive, but when you're sitting in it, you can't see it.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, the fact that it has like a nice looking design is cute, but you gotta, you know, you're putting on a Batman cowl and you're not really gonna see the thing. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. Anything I should have bought instead of my nice Lenovo?
No, you got the right thing.
Okay, good. Thank you. Even if that's not true, please say that.
No, you did. I
really like it.
Like I said, I'm reviewing a ThinkPad X1 Carbon, and the thing I don't like about it is that it doesn't have touch.
Touch is so nice. It's funny
because you miss it when it's gone.
Yeah, I don't use it all the time. It's just one more way of interacting. I often will scroll, and if there's a big button, and I go tap it. It's little things like that. And so the size of the touch targets isn't really all that important. I got to find a good virtual workspace manager. I'm not really – the way it's – done natively in Windows is confusing to me, but
you're talking about like the task view type stuff or virtual desktop?
Yeah, well, I just want to have multiple desktops. I'm used to that in all my operating systems and an easy way to go back and forth.
So the thing you should maybe look up is the keyboard shortcuts for task view. Because actually, once you kind of master that, it's like anything else, right? And there are probably trackpad gestures too, by the way.
That's what
that
I'm
will
looking
let you
for. Yeah.
Flip. Yeah, look it up. In fact, if you go into, I don't have one here, but if you go into settings and devices probably.
Yeah, no, I know the three. You can three fingers scroll up, three fingers.
Yeah, but I bet they have like four finger swipes or something.
Yeah, that's what I. Oh, they do. Look at that.
That's what you need to learn.
That's what I. That's and you know what's funny? That's exactly like on a Mac.
Yeah.
Good. You just solved it. Thank you, Paul. You're so good. You ought to write a book about it. I mean,
I should do a Windows podcast.
You should.
You really got this down.
I'll write a book. That's a good idea. That's where the money is, Leo.
That's where the money is.
Field guide.
I'm going to go write a book.
Intel did announce new X processors, Extreme processors. Well, I don't know why they don't call them Xeons. Up to 18 core. Wow. And the funniest thing that I saw was Twitch streamers are going to love these.
Yeah. Because you're doing two of the highest end things you can do on a PC at the same time.
Playing a game and encoding video in real time.
It's a terrible thing to do on one PC.
So they're going to really appreciate these 18 cores. It's so funny. It cracks me up. And then what's Coffee Lake?
It's the sequel to Kaby Lake, the current generation. And the thing that's kind of interesting about it is it's still 14 nanometers, right? We sort of talk about how it used to be TikTok and now it's TikTok. actually, even though they haven't been able to go to 10 nanometers yet with this next generation, there's a 30% performance boost, and that's actually really significant. You know, with I think Skylake to Kaby Lake was 10 to 15% probably, depending on the workload. So they've figured out some way to make this one make a difference. And so they didn't really say much about it at the show. They basically just said, yes, this is what we're doing. We already kind of knew it. And we will talk more about it later in a year. And that used to be at IDF or whatever. And you may recall they're not doing IDF anymore. So they'll have a little webinar or something. But eventually, you know, over the summer, they'll talk about that more.
Nice. Coffee Lake is a nice name. Makes me feel like in a lake of coffee.
Better than Data Lake, am I right?
Yeah.
Hey.
I like lakes and bridges.
Guys, I'm just going to have to do this now.
Oh, it works.
Jeez.
By the way, the Data Lake.
We should explain that Paul sounds like he's in a man cave because he's in his man cave, but everything else is left.
Right. No, I should do the podcast for my storage container that's full of stuff.
You should.
It'd probably have a really rich, brown sound.
Are you one of those people that has a thing that they put on your curb and you just throw everything in there and the truck comes and takes it over to the new place?
I'm one of those people who rented a storage facility somewhere and I drive back and forth like an idiot.
Lord.
My Jet Clampett truck. And I'm seriously.
His grandma on the back in a rocking chair.
Life is about becoming everything that you hate.
Yes, it
and
is.
And then being confronted by
I'll never be like my father.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I'll never be like that.
It's like I think I've done a pretty good job of minimizing stuff and whatever. And then, that's a lie. No, I have too much stuff.
It just cracks me up. Stuff. Get rid of it. This is your opportunity. We haven't mentioned this, but Paul, I guess, is... It's a kind of a shock moving to Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Witness protection program. And he's going to grow a big bushy beard like David Letterman.
I want to go to one of the mill towns. I hear that manufacturing is going to be a big
thing
back.
Again. Yeah. You know, they like the Jed Clampett look there in those mill towns.
That's right. The Amish buggy.
A little buggy. Thing. Actually, that's a great idea. Really good soft pretzels in Pennsylvania. Really,
how the Amish feel about always connected PCs.
Why are you, Mr. Andy Carb, moving to the land of beer and pretzels?
I figured if I could go to Germany and not have beer or pretzels, I could probably do it anywhere.
I am told that you're a mere 45 miles away from the King of Prussia Microsoft store, so that's good.
Nice. So if I need to get my Surface Book serviced.
I'm going to King of Prussia. I'll be back in a week.
Actually, I'm looking forward to exploring some of this area.
Oh, it's beautiful.
We don't really know a lot
about
it.
Gorgeous. You're going to love it. You have
family.
You're
going to be closer to New York.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm going to be closer to New York, right?
Yeah, how far?
There's a lot of good things about it.
No, that's a very good thing. How far is the drive to New York?
I think it's just under 2 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, without looking at a map, I would have assumed Pennsylvania to New York, Boston to New York would be pretty similar, but actually it's closer.
Yeah, it's much closer. Yeah. It's so funny. I don't know what it is. You feel like New England, everything's nearby, but everything's a really long drive.
Don't worry about it.
It's
not a flat drive.
No, we went. Yeah. We were visiting my mom in Rhode Island, and Michael wanted to go to Maine.
Sure. How hard could that be?
It's in New England, right? I'm not going to Maine.
So if there's no traffic from my house, you can hit the border of Maine in about an hour.
Yeah, because you're north.
But I live in New England, so there's never no traffic.
Right.
And
well, that's the way it is.
And
the tip
of Maine is not where you want to go in Maine. You want to go to someplace cool, like you know, Portland or whatever, a Gunquit or something.
Yep.
They're a little further away.
Paul's moving to Emetic, Pennsylvania.
Emmaus.
I'm sorry. I was trying to provide you with cover in case you didn't want anybody to know.
No, no. I'm not trying to hide it. I mean,
How many acres?
How many acres?
You got up to
half an acre.
Half an acre? How are you gonna grow, what is it?
Corn.
Corn.
There are many fields of corn there where this house is. That's for
According to Bing Maps, it's an hour 48 from Emmaus to Manhattan.
Yeah.
If there's no traffic.
Nice.
Which
if there's no
there
traffic.
Never is.
Hey, I was really interested. So when I got the Lenovo, turned it on, the very first thing I get is a Intel management engine update. Horrific bug that Intel basically puts, because this is a vPro, you know, it has the ME in it, and that horrific bug that let anybody log into your computer over the network and become root. And so that was fixed. And then very shortly after that, I got the creators update, like a day later. So
nice.
That was pleased. Did not come with a creators update, but, you know, that makes sense. Have you gotten on your HP Spectre, Mary Jo? Have you gotten the creators update yet?
Amusingly, it tried to start downloading at build when I was in Seattle, I stopped it. And then it kept trying to download when I was in Japan, but I also stopped it because my connection wasn't the best. So I don't have it yet, but it's trying to get on my machine. It's just trying and trying.
I was surprised. It's kind of a big deal. Like the screen goes you know, dark and it says we have a new version of Windows for you. I mean, they make a big... big deal about
you have
it.
To make your privacy setting changes before anything can happen. Like, that's the first thing that has to happen before
it will
download.
Is that for the EU, or is that just because Microsoft's tired of people bitching?
Yep.
Probably both.
It's both of those things.
Stop complaining. I said, do whatever you want, Microsoft. I don't mind. I said, just, you know, express settings all the way. I don't want to go through all that stuff. That's crazy.
I mean, this is how things get slipped in, but I spent a lot of time investigating express settings in the previous versions of Windows 10. I spent a lot of time looking at these privacy settings, and I've come away with the same conclusion, which is they can just collect what they want to collect. I don't care. I don't care about any of it.
I don't care.
None of it seems important to me.
Nope.
I don't know.
And another thing. I forgot what it was. I said, show me ads. I'll take all the ads you got, but I haven't
got any. Show me ads. I said, literally, I want more ads.
More ads. No, I'm not seeing any ads at all.
Actually, you know what hasn't happened since they shipped this thing, unless I'm missing something, is those File Explorer ads have kind of backed off, right?
Yeah, they must have heard you.
Remember that was kind of a little kerfuffle there for a month or so? And then Creators Updates out in the world.
They heard you.
They listened
to you.
They
heard you and other people complaining and... They're kind of putting that on a back burner, and I think it's not going to go away, but they're going to try to let that...
Just wait till Thurrott's sleeping and bang!
Yeah, I think they know that they were kind of pushing the boundary there, and now they're stepping back a bit.
They did ask me when I was doing my home swap this summer. I wonder if that's related.
And I forgot to mention, did you mention, maybe you already did, that Thunderbolt 3 will be... Now in chipsets.
I think this is huge because I've been kind of pushing this USB-C/Thunderbolt 3 thing for a while.
Yep.
And really pushing hard on Microsoft just being totally tone deaf on this topic and how easy it would have been just to add the port to the existing devices, you know, just simple. Well, guess what, Microsoft? You're going to have to adopt it soon because you're not going to not get it. It's going to be on the chipsets you have to use in those devices. So.
Wow.
They can push back all they want, but eventually it's going to have to just happen. So the Thunderbolt 3 is just a net win for everybody.
I love it.
You know, dramatically better bandwidth.
Not a lot of Thunderbolt 3 hard drives out there, but I have a few. No. I have an array. Now, this supposedly supports Thunderbolt 3, this Lenovo. So yep. So that's a custom something that Lenovo's doing?
Or? Yeah, everyone, all the PC makers have a way of doing this. Lenovo has technology built in to prevent that issue that HP was worried about, which is that you plug in a non-standard part and it fries the motherboard or something.
Right.
They figured out how to prevent that from happening. Imagine that, a hardware maker solving a hardware problem.
what?
I know, it's crazy. I mean, we've been doing this for 20 years and we know how to do stuff? Let's just do it.
Yeah, I haven't found any reason not to love this thing, I have to say.
I know. Well, this will also enable this technology in much smaller devices too, right? Or in a smaller space. And so a device like that that comes out a year or two from now, that stuff will be built onto the chipset, and you won't need the supporting chipset that makes it happen today. You can use that space for battery or something else. You know, so it's such a win.
There was a Thunderbolt 3 GPU dock at Computex, says Keith 512. So that's another thing you can do. There's so much bandwidth.
External dedicated GPU capabilities for laptops or desktops, right? You could buy a gaming laptop that has whatever GPU built into it. You could plug in a GPU to the outside and have a better one. Beautiful. Someone should tell Microsoft this exists. It's so nice.
I just look forward to the day when I don't have to have four different kinds of USB port, you know, things.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got Type A, I've got micro USB, I still have some mini USB. My toothbrush is mini USB.
that's awesome.
Well, the older stuff, right? But all the phones now, pretty much, except for Apple, are Type C.
Yep.
So it's starting to feel a little more uniform, and it's non-proprietary.
I know.
You know, it drives me crazy that I have to buy a special $90 charger for a laptop. I don't have to do it for this one.
I will admit, I have been screwed over kind of by the dongle thing once now. And it was a nice comeuppance because I had just had a discussion, I think, with Brad on a podcast where we were talking about this and how this has never happened. And all these people complain and it's really not a big deal and blah, 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 whatever. And hung up the phone, grabbed a box I was shipping via UPS or whatever, ran out to the car, asked my wife if I could use her car because she has Bluetooth in it and I wanted to listen to music or whatever, audiobook actually, through the stereo system. So my phone, I sat in the car for about 20 minutes trying to figure this out. My phone connected with Bluetooth, no problem, but it wouldn't play audio over it. I could make phone calls and whatever, but I couldn't do music or audiobooks. So I said, well, that's okay. It has a cable. And I went to plug the cable in, and of course it's the iPhone, so I don't have the dongle. And I'm like, God damn it.
I literally
just explained how this has never happened.
Never happens. Need the dongle. Well, I have every cable possible in every possible crevice of my life.
I do this. We're all compulsive.
Yeah.
This is my wife's car, right? So if this was my car, there would be an adapter in there always just for this reason.
Right. If I meet anybody in Peru that needs a mini USB cable, I'll be ready.
It's like in the 70s, people used to bum a cigarette off, and now they're bumming a USB-C adapter.
You got a battery? My kid, every time I see my son Henry, he says, bring a battery. I don't know what it is about kids. I don't know, but they don't charge their stuff overnight. They charge it when it needs to be charged, which is often like not an opportune moment. They charge in the middle of the day or whatever. So he says, bring a battery and a cable.
Kids are classic like that. Like when you actually need them to do something, they're like, oh, my battery's dead.
Yep.
Like, what are you doing? Like,
yep.
We've been sitting at home for 17
charge
hours.
Charge it every night. Just plug it in. It's not that hard.
Yep.
Oh, this is weird. Speaking of Brad...
yep.
Where is he?
Speaking of Brad, this is really weird. Microsoft is considering a Windows Mobile reboot.
Larry Joe seems
is he being
to
punked?
Know something about this. I think this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but maybe you can prove otherwise.
So there have been rumors about something codenamed Andromeda from Microsoft for, I guess, the past 6 months or so. And originally when these rumors came out, I think people thought this was some kind of a Windows desktop environment. But I and another person named Kasim, who we've talked about on the podcast before, Kasim Kelty, both think that what Brad is hearing about is Andromeda, but Andromeda in hardware form.
Ah.
So think about this. Microsoft has not said they're getting out of mobile, right? They said they were getting out of consumer smartphones. And that's why they wrote off all the Nokia assets and sold off all the manufacturing plants and fired all the people who worked for Nokia. They realized they missed the boat on consumer smartphones. But Satya Nadella and others at the company keep saying that doesn't mean we're getting completely out of mobile. We still think we could come into the mobile space, but not competing head-to-head with Android and iPhone. So what does that mean? We've thought for a while it means some kind of a mobile device that has telephony capabilities aimed at the business market primarily. That's what I think Andromeda is. That's what I think Brad's hearing about and what's been circulating out there. Some kind of a mini tablet type device that will be able to provide telephony. And I think this is something that's still quite a ways away. I would guess 2018 or beyond. It's not something we're going to see this year. It's not Surface Phone 2 like people have been talking about it. It's more like a mobile tablet, small form tablet with a stylus, probably a member of the Surface family when it finally ships, that will support telephony. That's all I think we're hearing. I don't think it's anything new. I just think people are starting to hear about Microsoft testing this. It's not so, Microsoft coming back into phones.
Okay. No. But in other words, this is an offshoot of Windows Mobile, not full Windows 10 on ARM or whatever. Is that jive with what?
So the thing that we call Windows Mobile today, the operating system, it's kind of at an end of life point, right? Like Microsoft is continuing to put builds out of it, out of this operating system, but there it's that thing that's called Feature 2. You notice they don't call it Redstone 3. So right. I think they're going to continue that up to a point, support the existing phones with that build, but I don't think they're going to have a Redstone 3 that's in the Windows Mobile family. So I think what they'll do is have an operating system for this thing that may or may not be Windows 10 on ARM. It may just be Windows Mobile kind of retrofitted with the thing that you've heard about too that's called C Shell. Have you heard about C Shell? Composable Shell? So Composable Shell is a modular version of the shell. So it does all the things like start and task switching and Windows management settings, all that kind of thing, in a way that will make it easier for Microsoft to bring that environment in a common way across all the different form factors it has. I think that is kind of what Brad and others have heard about being where mobile's going next. I don't think it's like Windows Mobile as it exists today. I think it's Windows Mobile in some other form.
So where is mobile? I mean, what? Do they mean a tablet? Do they mean, what do they
mean? I think a tablet. A tablet.
Is it like a full Windows 10 tablet that runs Windows 10 apps? Is it a embedded device that's for a specific set of, you know, features or whatever? A Skype thing in hardware? I don't understand why anyone would buy such a product when there are iPads in the world and Surface devices. There will be Surface devices, I'm sure, this year that are always connected PCs, for example.
Yep. Right.
I don't get it.
I guess, I can't defend what the value proposition of this is because I haven't really seen it. But I think the thinking is there isn't a small form factor Surface. Right.
True.
And I think Microsoft wants to show the way with something like this so that OEMs will copy it going forward.
Okay.
And what makes me think this is right, that we're hearing these, kind of pulling all these rumors together, is Microsoft's change in positioning about Surface Pro. Remember how they stopped calling it the tablet that can replace your laptop? Why did they do that? My thinking is because they're building a tablet. So now they're calling Surface Pro a laptop, but they don't have a thing that's called a tablet.
So this is more like Surface Mini than it is Surface Phone, although we have telephony capabilities.
Right. Again, all this is me and others, like Kasim and other people. Neo Wen's done some stuff on it, like all trying to pull together the different pieces of rumors we're hearing. So I can't say this is what they're doing, but I think this is what they're doing.
I love the courier idea.
I know. A lot of people wanted them to come out with courier, right?
Yeah, but, you know, a courier in isolation isn't very useful, right? It has to have things that make it work, and it has to meet certain needs that other products aren't meeting. And, you know, a courier that was an iPad would be instantly useful, right? It would have a market.
Yep. Right. It has to have a value proposition. It has to be business focused, I think.
Yeah.
It probably will have a stylus. It will be touch, right? It'll be all the things, a premium device like Surface. It'll fit in with the value proposition that Microsoft has established around Surface. But you have to ask yourself, like, so what is it going to do that other tablets don't do besides just being foldable? Right. Like, that's one interesting thing.
I mean, if this thing doesn't ship until next year, if ever, the big thing that's going to change for Surface by that point, I believe, is that this Surface laptop, which is just a laptop, it's a pretty traditional laptop, is going to be their best-selling Surface device. Right. It's going to, I think, that's my opinion, but I mean, I think this thing is in no way innovative, really, from sort of a form factor perspective, is a great, I mean, it's beautiful. I'm really interested
in it. What
about
the fuzzy keyboard?
I like the fuzzy keyboard. I'm just saying it's a laptop. In fact, the reason I like it is because it's a laptop. I think that's the reason most people are going to like it.
Yeah.
And so I sort of view this through this lens of, there's an element of Microsoft, and there's certainly an element of Microsoft's fan base, who can't get past the "we're not the platform maker" thing anymore.
I know, right?
And it just seems like a vain desire to set a standard where none is required or wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm happy to be wrong about this, but I just think this is like digging up Jason Voorhees again. Like, how many times are we going to dredge this up? Like, stop. You know?
Okay. I would suggest that you go and look at numerama.com. Yeah. That's Kasim Ketfi's blog.
Yeah, no, I see the link to it. Yeah.
It's in French. You'll have to use a translation program to read it, most likely.
I'll probably be the Google one. Yep.
But he kind of lays out what I think is the case and where they're going to go with this.
Incroyable projet de
Microsoft. It is incroyable. I agree with that.
Le smartphone.
Yeah, I think that Microsoft has to come in with a mobile play. I think they can't just totally capitulate and say, you know what, our play now is to support iPhone and Android. I don't think that's good enough, just for the very reasons we talked about on this show at the beginning, which is you need a mobile portable device that's something in hand that people carry around with them all the time to get things established like Cortana and Translate and Maps, right? If you don't have that, you're missing out on a big segment.
We were just talking about that, right? You're not getting signals.
Right. So I think they're trying to find a way to kind of wedge themselves back into the game with something unique, something that has a differentiation, value proposition. I don't know if this will be the right thing or the thing that ultimately comes to market, but I think they're kind of looking around for, like, how can we get in there with something that's not a consumer smartphone?
It also may be that it's just prudent for a company to do research on new form factors. You missed the smartphone. Yeah. You don't want to miss whatever's next. And maybe the smartphone isn't the end of the pocket computer. I mean, that's kind of what my French isn't very good, but that's kind of what he's talking about here at Numerama, is that maybe there is a device that's going to be as popular as a smartphone, but more capable. I don't know. I mean, the smartphone's success isn't as a phone. It's as a camera and a pocket computer. you know, an always connected pocket computer. Well, maybe that's not the end of it. Maybe there's more something. I'm sure every company is doing research along these lines.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm sure Apple has a bunch of prototypes for something.
The problem is Microsoft has sort of taken a baby step in this direction with Continuum and with that HP Elite X3. And if you were to go back a year when they first started marketing this thing, you know, they don't talk about it like it's a phone. They talk about it like it's a 3-in-1 computer.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it is a way what they've done with Windows, with Windows 8 and 10.
Yeah, right. And I think the Continuum capabilities on the PC make tons of sense for those types of devices. In fact, the X1 Yoga you have will do that, right? When you flip it back over, it could go into tablet mode. And
it's kind of one of those. I really never detached the Surface Book screen.
Yeah.
So no, it's kind of this mix there. That's there. And I can imagine, although I have no experience yet, using it in a tent mode and a tablet mode.
Yep. But if you flip it all the way down, like if you make it like a tablet, unless you've changed something or if they configured it differently, you should be prompted to see if you want to go into tablet mode.
Yeah, I can go into tablet mode. I'd actually turn that
prompt
off.
That's fine. You know, and the thing with the phone, like Dex with the Samsung phones or the Continuum stuff for Microsoft, is one of those things that makes for a good demo. It sounds like a good idea, but you're not getting the PC apps on, you know, so you get this thing that kind of looks like a PC. Microsoft has a bad history with things that look like Windows but aren't Windows, you know. Mm. And on the phone, it just doesn't do it.
Well, there are lots of question marks. I mean, I think it's safe to say that the tablet is kind of a flop form factor. iPad sales are down. I don't think anybody's making great hay with a tablet. We know that we've kind of reached optimal phone size, which is something slightly less than 6 inches, that if it's too big, you can't carry it. So, yeah. I mean, I understand, and this is what they're talking about on Numerama, is this idea of a kind of a folio.
Mm-hmm.
A hybrid between a smartphone and a tablet. That's kind of...
Yeah. Sounds like a student device, almost, you could imagine.
Mm-hmm. But I think Microsoft's been there, done that, right? Because...
Well. Yeah, they have.
Do you mean with Courier? Because
no, I mean with Surface Pro. Except
the size, right?
Yeah, but what size would make this? I mean, is it like a wallet?
I'm guessing like 6-inch, like small, like when it's folded up, small.
Right. Well, that maybe because I mean there has been a drive to make these thinner and thinner, but if you couldn't, and there's new screen technologies coming out and stuff and. Maybe you make put a foldable OLED screen that is this size and then opens up if you want something a little larger. I mean, I'm sure that's where they're thinking.
Yeah,
it's just so limited.
And the patents show these big hinges.
I know.
How do you type on this thing?
It's limited. It is limited. Yeah. I mean, maybe you don't type on it. Maybe it's something you use a stylus with. And
does anybody still carry a Filofax or a date book or a,
Remember people do.
I used to carry the Franklin planner and I had all different, there was like big ones and then I finally got a little one, but it was really thick.
These are the form factors that don't make sense to today's youth.
Yeah, they go, what do you carry that thing for?
Yeah.
And what if you lose it? Where's your backup? Right. And how do you get on the internet with it?
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's where Continuum plays, right? Is you use it to read and consume content, and then when you hook it up to Continuum, that's how you actually compose. I don't know.
I have to say that my favorite pocket computer of all time, mm-hmm. Paul will be old enough to remember this, the Scion 3.
I knew you were going to say Scion.
That was
my father still talks about this device.
Oh, shoot.
I remember he showed us this at his condo, and I want to say it was the late 80s, but at the very latest, it was the early 90s. And I was actually pretty impressed with it at the
time. It was so cool. Yeah. So it's about the size of a glasses case. It's a little bigger.
Yep.
Screen isn't that big. But imagine this with modern materials. That keyboard was usable. You thumb typed, but it was usable. And look, it's a regular keyboard. It's got, you know, enter key and shift keys. It had built-in apps. Now, nowadays, we could put much more processing in. You know what killed this?
It wasn't Windows CE.
No. I remember talking. I actually had lunch with the CEO of the company, I remember, many years ago. And I said, why don't you – this would be really great if it synced up with my computer.
Yeah.
And he said, no, nobody – Yeah. Well, this is pre-Palm, right?
No, I know, but was, I mean, so who did it? Who,
Palm, who, the Palm pilot. Palm, put this guy out of the business. He said, oh, nobody wants that. That's the classic, nobody wants that. Yeah. We've done research. Nobody wants that.
That's what Microsoft says about USB-C and Thunderbolt.
Right, right. It's the classic response. Oh, nobody wants that. So, yeah, it was shortly after my lunch with him that Palm comes along with the pilot. And what does it do? You put it in a dock. Yeah. By the way, I've talked later with Jeff Hawkins, the founder of Palm. He said, you don't really need that button. You know that button you push on it?
Yeah.
That was a dummy button.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
But people wanted some sense of, I'm starting the sink now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it would go, and then, it sank fast. And it got everything off your computer onto your device.
Yeah. I owned at least 20 Palm devices easily.
But it had a problem because they didn't want to put a keyboard on that, right? So you had to use that graffiti and a weird alphabet and pen.
Palm is a good example of a company that at least learned from its mistakes, because when BlackBerry popularized that keyboard, they went there eventually. It was kind of too late, I guess, by that point. But they eventually went there.
I guess my only point is that it's really common. We sit here and we think, oh, it's the end of times. History's over. Everybody, this is it. This is as good as this is your fondle slab. That's it. Yeah. That's the perfect form factor. And Microsoft can't sit still and say, oh, yeah, and we missed that one. They've got to think, well, what's going to be next? And I think this is a reasonable attempt. I mean, you've got to think about what modern technologies, miniaturization, better screens could do to make this, bring back maybe this, some sort of Scion-like form factor, maybe. I don't know.
The problem that they have, though, is the problem they always have, which is that they don't have the thing that gets you to the next thing. You know, in other words, if you're Apple, you have the iPhone. It's the most popular mobile device in the world, and they haven't been able to sell very many of these other things that kind of build off of it. You know, a smartphone, the smartphone guys are all doing like AI and digital assistants and smartwatches and blah, blah, blah. Like, but at least they have this huge audience of people built in that they can sell something to, so they can take them to the next step. Microsoft has it with the cloud because their most important customer base, the enterprise, is on all these on-prem systems, and Microsoft has the thing. They have that base, and now they can move them to the next thing. But they don't have it on the devices side, and they don't really have it on the client side, not in kind of a volume sense.
Should they give up on hardware and go back to
cloud and software? I think this is literally short-term treading water. They're going to have multiple defeats, and they'll finally figure it out. I think it's inevitable. It's not because they don't make good stuff. It's not because they don't have smart people. It's because this is just the way it is. They don't have a way to convince people. Imagine if you could somehow convince your enterprise customers to buy a hardware device. Maybe then you could make something out. I'm sure this is why they're targeting businesses with it. It's their only hope for this stupid thing.
Well, I think with Surface Pro and the Hub and the Book, the audience is the business audience, right? I think what you're talking about is they have a lot of power to convince the business user to go with their hardware, I think. But consumers are the doubters, and understandably so, because everything Microsoft's done in the consumer space, they've either undone or screwed up, right? Like the band, all the things
the
around.
The consumer space Nokia. Has screwed this for them, right?
Yeah, that's where they're hurting.
BYOD, and we have a user base demanding Apple and Google devices. In business, and it's a tsunami. They can't do anything about it. IDC said this past quarter that the only reason that business sales of PCs grew was because of Chromebooks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. Yeah. But that's, you know, this is the drumbeat that's happening all around them. They can't stop it.
Right. I don't think they're going to get out of hardware though.
Well, okay. I mean, I think that they are, but I think it's not going to happen next year. I mean, you know, they just design hardware that goes in cloud-based data centers. So there's some hardware, I guess. They could, you know, you could make this argument that their expertise in designing special chipsets for the Surface, like the Surface Pro has a unique hardware acceleration chip for Windows Ink, which is actually kind of incredible. They could apply that same computer science to you know, something that will make their cloud data centers more efficient, blah, 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 whatever. I think they already have, actually. But Microsoft selling hardware to end users, I think that does go away. I think that's inevitable.
Really? I don't see that going away anytime in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I feel like they're staffing up the Surface unit like crazy.
Well, sales were down last quarter, right? But it's still...
Only because they didn't ship when they were supposed to. But I don't think they will ever make Surface a huge business like over a couple billion, but I don't think they'll get out of it.
It serves a role.
I kind of think it does.
It demonstrates
it does,
to OEMs.
But they just released a laptop. Yeah. You know, remember, the big story about Surface was always that we're defining new markets. And you could make a case for all of their devices up until that one that they were defining new markets. They just took, like you just mentioned this, they took their device that defined this new market, formalized it, right, for two-in-ones, and now they're calling it a laptop. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a weird capitulation to reality.
I think the reason they believe that the Surface laptop is still making a category is because they want to show people that you could run something like Windows 10S on a high-end device, and they want OEMs to copy that idea. The idea that you could run store apps only on a device and make a business out of it. I think that's where they see it as category defining. Not because it's a laptop, but more because it's a high-end laptop running a different kind of version of the operating system, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so there is an argument that Microsoft might be looking at this, you know, something new and different. And it could just be a reference platform for OEMs. I mean, I think that's what they're doing with these mixed reality
headsets. It may also never happen.
And it may never happen.
I know.
It could just be
so early. Yep.
Doesn't mean anything. You know, those of us who cover Apple are already used to this, you know, whole idea of, well, look at all the things Apple patents. Surely they're making a keyboard that can float in thin air, but, you know, just a patent. Let's see. I don't want to go right to picks yet. Oh, is there any Xbox news of any kind? Anything at all, Paul?
Yeah, in a really unexpected... Actually, I should mention up front, too, it's maybe this is a tip, but it's the last day of May, so
chances are by the time
you hear this, it's over. But remember that this is your last day to get two of those games with gold games from this past month.
It's a good haul.
And if you're hearing it on June 1st, there are new games to enjoy.
Something exciting.
But yes, so in a very unexpected move, timed, I think, to Mary Jo's trip to Japan, Microsoft announced that they were renaming Beam, that Twitch-like video game broadcasting service that they purchased and are now integrating into Xbox, to Mixer. Ah. And they didn't really say it this way, but they seem to suggest in a blog post that the issue here is that it's available in all these international markets, and they want to be able to market it everywhere in the world, obviously. And the problem is that, I guess, was that Beam, it might have been like what was that, the Chevy car that had the terrible name in Spanish? Oh, Nova. It might have been something like that, like Beam meant something in some, you know, language, or it wasn't working out, whatever. But so they excuse me. So they renamed it, and that's fine. I don't see any big issue to that. And they also added some new features to it as well. And I'm trying to find out what those are. Co-streaming, which allows up to four people to do a split screen thing where they're in the same game and they're all streaming together. Previously, you had to go back and forth between different streams. I think that's probably the big one. There's a Mixer Create beta for Android and iOS. So it's a new mobile app. And that's for self-broadcasting. Now, it doesn't support game broadcasting. So one of the weird things about Beam or Mixer now is that you can just broadcast anything, as it turns out, right? And they don't actually stop this. In fact, I think it's encouraged. So in some ways, this is like a live YouTube thing, right? It doesn't have to be a video game, although it usually is. And I don't understand it. I'm not going to pretend I understand why anyone would want to do this. But I could imagine that someone who does live broadcast of gameplay would occasionally just broadcast them talking about something, right?
That happens,
maybe. Yeah, I'm sure that's what happens. So.
For when Anywho. Twitch started, it said only game streaming.
Yeah.
And then they loosened it up. And we're on Twitch.
Sure.
And while I think many people like to play a game called Drink If Paul Says.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, we would be a natural for Mixer or Twitch.
Yeah, Mixer.
Data Lakes.
Built for Mixer. Yeah. If you say, Hadoop, have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was the big news.
Big Xbox story. We actually had some fun earlier, and we'll show it on Saturday on the new screensavers. There's a new Star Trek virtual reality game that you can play multiplayer. And so we set up four PlayStation 4s. It's not an Xbox, I'm sorry. PlayStation 4, PlayStation VRs. And Nate and Jason and Megan and somebody else were playing, all playing. They were on the, they thought they were wearing the visors. They were on the deck of the Enterprise. And Megan was a tactical officer. I don't know who the captain was. And then they were all playing this. It was so funny to watch. You got to see it on Saturday. We'll show it. But another reason why, and I'm sure Scorpio will have some sort of VR solution, right?
It almost certainly will have the Windows Mixed Reality.
Yeah.
That's
what these are for. Yeah. I noticed an HDMI or something cable coming off of those headsets. That's for plugging into your Xbox, I would guess. So don't be surprised if, back of the book coming up in just a second, don't be surprised, Paul and Mary Jo, if you get a little vial in the mail and we ask you to spit in it.
I'm sorry, what?
Because, well...
Look, I'm not doing random drug testing.
We just want to know a little more about you.
Moving is stressful. I don't know why I have to explain this.
I'm talking about 23 and Me. It is. I did it, I think, when they first came out years ago. One of the fun things about 23 and Me is once you do it, they're always giving you more information about what your DNA says about you. 23 is the number of pairs of chromosomes that define your body, who you are, sometimes your personality, and little weird things like hairy ears. You can find out so much. 75, all you have to do is spit in a vial, send it back to them. You'll get 75 online genetic reports, categories like ancestry. This is mine. I'm lifting my kimono to show you my DNA. Ancestry, wellness, traits, and even health. Look, I love this one. Chromosome pair 3. Your height may be influenced by a Neanderthal variant in the LPP gene. I have 265 Neanderthal variants, but that's fairly low. I'm in the bottom third of 23andMe customers, and I'm in seventh place among family and friends. And the reason they can talk about family and friends, and I love this report, is because they can talk about your relations, your DNA family. Because so many people now have taken the 23andMe genetic test that I can figure out, I found a first cousin, a second cousin on 23andMe. It is so cool. That's the DNA relative finder. That lets you find and connect with new relatives. You can find out how DNA influences your traits, how it relates to things like caffeine consumption. I have 1,235 DNA relatives in my DNA family. Quite a few close family to second cousins. Quite a few, many more distant cousins. Here's a map of my family members. This is so cool. You can find out, by the way, most of my family members live in Texas, Florida, California, Oregon, and Massachusetts, Paul. 30 relatives in Massachusetts. Pennsylvania, only 15 to 20, so don't move. There won't be as many me's there.
None in Utah?
Actually, no, I didn't see any in Utah.
It's kind of interesting where they aren't.
Yeah, that's more interesting, isn't it? Ancestry of my DNA relatives, mostly British and Irish, Italian. I have more, really, that's all? I thought I had more Italian. There's a little bit of Ashkenazi Jew in all of us. Okay, compared to the 23andMe customers, my DNA relatives are less likely to have skydived. 67% less likely to skydive. This is just fun stuff that the data can tell you. You can even get the raw download of your genetic data and start doing some of your own research as well. It is really, really cool. Easy to do. Like I said, you just spit in a vial. 23andMe's carrier status reports meet FDA requirements. So you can find out if you're a carrier for certain conditions like cystic fibrosis or hereditary hearing loss, which I am. Here you go. 23andMe.com/twit. Get over 75 genetic reports and start exploring your DNA today at 23andMe.com/twit. This is so cool. And I did it a long time ago, and I'm learning more about it all the time, and I love it. 23andMe.com/twit. It would be a great gift for Father's Day. Do it yourself and then give it to your dad, because then the two combined give you more information. It's really cool. All right, time for Paul and the back of the book, your tip of the week, my friend.
So starting tomorrow, June 1st, Microsoft is launching a subscription service called Xbox Game Pass, which brings over 100 Xbox One and Xbox 360 backward compatible games to subscribers. You don't have to be an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. Anyone can subscribe. It's $10 a month. And a lot of people are referencing this as a Netflix for video games, which actually it's not. You know, the nice thing about Netflix is that you can jump in and out of videos in this case very quickly. They stream. The Xbox service does not stream. You actually have to download these games to your hard drive. And there are advantages to this. I mean, don't get me wrong. But the issue is that some of these games are enormous. I cite two of them that are available in the list that I think are, one of them is 45-ish gigabytes, and the other one I think is 90-something gigabytes.
Oh, that's weird.
It makes it a little hard to sample.
I play the NVIDIA. NVIDIA has one, NVIDIA Now, I think it's called. It's on my Shield. And that really is streaming. Like the game is on their end, and you're interacting with a streaming server. So Microsoft's
is not streaming.
Probably better quality. No.
Definitely better quality. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. There are advantages and disadvantages to both approaches. PlayStation's Now service is the same. It's streaming, right? So those things are more like Netflix, right? Microsoft does have the capability to allow you to start playing a game while it's downloading. The problem is it varies according to game. It's not very sophisticated. Most games don't give you a way to go in and say, well, I'm going to do multiplayer, do that one first. In my experience, and I've tried this, you know, many times, it's never been satisfying. You basically have to wait for the thing to finish. But I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I actually think this is a great service. It's inexpensive. The game library is only going to grow over time. Obviously, some games will come out as well. But if you want to buy a game that you've sampled this way or played this way, you don't have to sample it. You could buy it at a discount if you're an Xbox Game Pass subscriber. So It's a nice system, but don't confuse it. Don't be confused by the Netflix thing. It's actually not like Netflix.
So if you download Witcher 3, you just can continue to play it as long as you pay for this subscription.
That's right.
And how much is it?
$9.99 a month.
Okay. So since a game is $60, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. And it just gives you it's nice because you can go out and say, well, I might want to buy this game, but I don't know.
Happens
if I
all
want
the time.
It
actually solves a problem because it's really hard to tell how good or bad a game's going to be.
Yeah,
until you play it.
The way it is like Netflix is that the problem is it's some weird subset of what's out in the world.
Right.
So
the
games that are on there may or may not be of interest to you.
Can you still go to GameStop and rent games?
I haven't been in a GameStop in a while, although I think this one's still in Dedham.
Of course there is. We have one. And you know why? They live because Electronic Arts and all the game companies really like the lines and the furor on game release day. I think it's a marketing tool. Because seriously, don't you download all your games now? Who goes to the store to buy a game? I guess somebody wouldn't have
nobody.
A lot of data.
We would stop. I mean, Mark and I used to do that, right, for Call of Duty. I'd wake him up at midnight. And, now he's old enough that when midnight comes, he is actually still out, and he can drive his own car.
He's pre-purchased the game, and he's playing it.
Yeah, he's already, it's already downloaded to his hard drive because,
so,
things are different now.
Yeah, times have changed.
Yeah.
Anyway,
have
you told him yet that you're moving to Pennsylvania, or are you just going to leave without telling him?
Actually, you know, Mary Jo referenced how fast this happened, and that's true. And we had literally gone from maybe we'll move it sometime to, you know, to full blown, we are literally moving. And it was a week into it. And Stephanie, my wife, said, hey, we should probably tell Mark. <You know? laughs> but it's better for him too, because he goes to school in Rochester, New York. And actually the drive for him to Pennsylvania is less than the drive here. So it will benefit him ultimately.
So the chat room is saying that that you can't, the Gamefly is still around. I used to be a member of this. This was like the Netflix DVD subscription, mm-hmm. right? You could get tour games at a time or something like that.
These kind of things are actually a good idea, regardless of how they do it, because, you know, you spend $60 on a game and you don't like it, you know. You're kind of screwed. I mean, Microsoft, there is a way to do it. You can actually, if you haven't played for so long or whatever, they'll let you, you know, send it back and everything. But
oh, I should find out about that, because I can't tell you how many games I've only played 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So in this case, though, you might want to download a few overnight. The other issue with the downloading thing, too, is that most Xbox hard drives are 500 gigabytes, and those things fill up really quick. In fact, one of the reasons I bought the launch version of the Xbox One S is that it comes with a 2 terabyte internal drive. And you can really kind of load that thing up with games. It's kind of nice. I know you can add a drive, but just having a single, you know, the single device.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. And then just as kind of a bonus tip, Xamarin University is doing a weekly course. So they're going to do one course a week for four or five weeks in June. And they're doing it live. It's free. Anyone can do it. Neat. You can see what the schedule is. And knowing how these things always go, this will be made available for streaming, I'm sure, after the fact. But it starts actually tomorrow, June 1st, which is a Thursday. Yep. So every Thursday throughout June, which is, there's actually 5 Thursdays in June, they'll have a different session or course, or however you want to think of it.
It's just like a one-day taste.
Yeah.
What a good idea, though. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And then for app picks, Microsoft released the Microsoft Planner companion app on Android and iOS today. It's really kind of basic at this point. Microsoft Planner is basically the new tasks for Office 365. You can't actually create a task using this app. It's literally a companion app, so you can just go view tasks and do some basic things, but they are going to add that capability over time. And so they're not calling this a beta, but it's obviously not fully featured yet, but it is available today. And on Xbox One in like general availability form, and on Windows 10 in beta form, you can get the SoundCloud app today. And on Xbox One, it supports background playback, meaning that you can queue up a soundtrack and then get into a game and your music will continue playing.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. The kids love SoundCloud.
Yeah, it's a quirky service that I don't know a lot. I literally had to look it up on Wikipedia. It's kind of interesting.
I have
the genesis of this thing is really interesting.
Yeah.
It was started as MySpace, and now it's a lot more than that, actually.
I did not know that. Yeah, a lot of bands put their music up on SoundCloud, lot of remixes up there. I've put podcasts up there.
I should mention, by the way, since you didn't, I didn't mean literally it was MySpace. I mean, it was like a MySpace-type solution for bands.
Yeah.
Sorry. Nice. Misspoke.
No, but I think like even our 14-year-old, like I said, do you want, you know, a Google Music or an Apple Music mm-hmm. subscription? She said, no, I want SoundCloud.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just, you know, the kids, they talk at school. They get ideas. It's terrible.
My kids just want Spotify. They don't understand anything else.
My older kids want Spotify. They're both Spotify users.
But we got this Microsoft thing that does the same thing.
No,
do you want
Groove.
That?
Hey, by the way.
Yep.
Okay. I just complain about it all to you. I figure Chris Capicella is listening. So mm-hmm. I remember like 2 years ago at Christmas, Microsoft gave out like 20 or 30 albums, right?
I do.
It was awesome.
I do remember that. Yep.
And so on my new Windows machine, I was like, oh, I fired up Groove and downloaded the albums. The U2 album, Joshua Tree, it says, at the request of the rights holders, you can't have it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, what? It says purchased. I know purchase it.
It probably was just added to your library. I think if you purchased it, you should be able to still get it, right?
No.
Wow.
Everything else Sinatra, The Capitol Years.
So Ariana Grande released an anniversary edition of that album, and I wonder if it's tied to that.
Oh, that's probably why.
You know,
it's very frustrating because I thought I
literally
owned
just
it.
Bought something on iTunes because it's the only place you can get it electronically.
Yeah,
and then I spent time trying to figure out how to download it on my phone when I finally realized what I need to do is download it on my computer and then put it in Google Play Music so I can just access it the way I want to access it. It took me about 30 minutes to figure that out.
Well, at least I have Sgt. Pepper on here now.
Well, that was the album, actually.
You want the new 50th anniversary.
Yep.
What you really want, Alex Gumpel got it, I got it too, is the 4-CD set with the alternate takes.
I can't do physical media. You know, this is a...
You rip it.
It's a two-disc version. It does have some of the alternate takes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. And then they did... Well, but see, the reason it's four is because there's the original mono mix, and then everybody complains about the stereo mix, and Sgt. Pepper was just like the Beatles had left. So some guy says, well, put that in the left channel, put that in the right channel, that's good, ship it.
Well, but so this new one, has a new stereo remix.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And it sounds great.
Beautiful, yep.
It sounds really good. And then it has the mono, so that's two discs. And then the second and third disc are, as I mentioned, outtakes and studio chatter and fun stuff like that.
Yep.
Then there's a DVD and a Blu-ray in there, and it's a nice set. Comes in a box that has the tape labels from Abbey Road.
Does it have like the mustache? You can remember when the album initially came out, it had like those things in the box. There was a mustache, like a cardboard.
There's
mustache.
The cutouts. Yes, yeah. You remember that? What's fun?
Well,
about
I don't remember it. I just know it.
Yeah, because in 1967, were you even born?
I was a year old.
This is cool because this is one of those 3D, lenticular 3D things. This is Alex's. He's being very kind because I thought he was going to keep it shrink wrap and sell it in 20 years, but I guess he actually wants to listen to it. But that's the it's the EMI tape. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? They include. It's actually beautifully packaged. Oh, he hasn't opened it yet. I won't.
I don't know if you looked at my office recently, but I don't really have stuff anymore. So I can't.
You can't. There is the poster. No, it's okay. The Mr. Kite poster's in here, and there's a beautiful book, the original promo poster. Get Sergeant Pepper here now. Here's the Mr. Kite poster that John Lennon wrote the song from. So cool. These are the cutouts you were talking about, the mustache and the epaulettes.
Yep.
Very cool. Anyway, $120, something like that, right? Yeah.
This band is going places, Leo. I
feel that they may have a future. I don't know. I could be wrong. Nice packaging, though. And really, congratulations to EMI for getting me to buy this album like the 23rd time.
Yeah. The only thing I've bought more than Beatles music is Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Yes, that too. In every form. Oh, Hobbit. Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. I got every
form.
Oh,
that's true, too. Yeah, no, that's fair.
They get you. Mary Jo Foley, save us with the Enterprise pick of the week, will you please?
All right. I got to bring us back to ground here.
Yes.
My Enterprise pick of the week is something I am sure neither Paul nor Brad nor anyone on Windows Weekly covered during my absence.
Fair.
There was a pretty big update on what's coming with SharePoint that happened right after build. So for all of you people running SharePoint Server 2016 and wondering if there'd be another feature pack, there will be. Another feature pack known as Feature Pack 2 is coming before the end of this calendar year.
Nice.
And the main thing that it's going to add to SharePoint Server is support for the SharePoint framework component integration. Mm. I know you've been waiting for that.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
coming. Oh, yeah.
You have no idea.
For people who already are using SharePoint in the cloud through Office 365 or SharePoint Online, you also are going to be getting a bunch of new capabilities before the end of the year as well. One of the most interesting ones is you're going to be getting more personalized search built in with SharePoint, especially around people. So folks who followed SharePoint for a while may remember Microsoft was going to do this knowledge management portal that was codenamed Infopedia. It was something they announced a couple of years ago. Instead of doing that, they're going to be building in this more personalized people's search capability right into SharePoint. So if you're working in a company and you want to find out who in your institution has knowledge about a certain topic, you'll be able to type that in through search and say, who knows about blah at my company? And it will return results thanks to its integration with the Microsoft Graph and give you some suggestions of people who you might contact if you need more information on a particular topic. So that could be pretty handy for big companies where you're wondering, like, who here knows about this? I know somebody does, and I'd like to connect with them. There'll be other SharePoint capabilities coming around, more integration with Power Apps and Flow, and as well as some other things I don't think they fully announced at this event right after Build. But they did say at the Ignite conference that's coming up, Microsoft Ignite in September, I believe it's September, they will be talking about all of these things and more in much greater depth. So stay tuned. So that's the enterprise pick this week.
Very cool. And the code name is Pennsylvania.
I know. I should have done that. I didn't think.
Is there a code name Pennsylvania?
I don't think there is a Pennsylvania, but there is something codenamed Vermont.
There should be.
There should be. And maybe there will be now that they know Paul's moving there.
Now that they know. The Pennsylvania Project.
In the interim, we have Project Vermont. This is pretty interesting, especially given the fact that Microsoft kind of got rid of many of the people they acquired when they bought Nokia. This Project Vermont's all about camera research that Microsoft is continuing to do inside the company, despite the fact that they get rid of a lot of those Nokia camera experts. So Vermont's a Microsoft research project. It's about improving digital camera performance using curved image sensors. And Microsoft has a prototype of these kinds of sensors somewhere in Microsoft Research. And they note in their research paper that curving the image surface can dramatically improve performance along many axes. Resolution, light gathering, illumination, uniformity, and also reduce system size, cost, and complexity. So they are continuing to do a lot of camera research inside Microsoft that may make it into digital cameras if Microsoft Research figures out how to productize this.
Interesting.
Codename Vermont for some reason.
Project
Not
Vermont.
Sure what. Yep.
Because that's where the maple syrup comes from.
That could be it.
And I think it's time for a beer. We've done such a good job, you guys. We can reward ourselves with a lovely beer. Yes. And pretzels.
Yes. So I had to make one of my beer picks something I had in Japan because I had a lot of craft beer I was in Japan.
They actually, you know, just the beer I've had, like Asahi and Sapporo are actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're
the big
okay.
commercial you know, beers. They're not bad.
Yeah, you're right. And you can get those anywhere.
Yeah.
You can get them anywhere. You can get them in vending machines everywhere in
really?
Japan.
How
it's
funny.
Crazy how easy it is to get them. But we tried on our trip to sample some of the craft beer that's being made in Japan now. And it's being made all over the country by different breweries there in Japan. And they're making a lot of American-style beers, which is very interesting. I had a New England-style IPA brewed in Japan there that was as good as anything I have had in the U.S.
Wow.
So that's not my pick. But I did get to try a beer called Ginger Stout by a brewing company in Osaka called Minnow, M-I-N-O-H. Minnow Ginger Stout, I guess the company that is distributing it is AJI Beer. It's a regular stout, just like any stout you'd have here, except there's a hint of ginger in it. Not overwhelming ginger, but sounds just good. Enough ginger to be very interesting and subtle.
Nice.
I had it at a place called Craft Beer Works Kamikaze, which is a really cool craft beer bar in Osaka. If you ever get to go there, excellent beers. Looks like any American craft beer bar, has really cool taps, cool glasses. And, it was really fun to see what they're doing with craft beer now in Japan.
I want to get
so
all
I would recommend. If you're there.
I can't wait to go. I'm so excited.
Yeah. If you follow me on Untappd, I checked in a lot of craft beer Japan from all different places. So yeah, I would recommend Minnow Ginger Stout if you have a chance to sample any of those craft beers.
Very nice.
And I guess we should do a couple quick calendar updates.
You guys are going to be busy. More traveling.
Yeah, more traveling. Not just Paul moving, but we're going to be traveling too. Just adding more stress to Paul's life. June 19th to 23rd, coming up in a couple weeks, we're going to the Netherlands. We're going to be in Haarlem at the Office 365 Engage show. And we're going to be doing Windows Weekly live from there.
Oh, boy.
As well as having a meetup there before the show. So if you're around either at the show and or in that vicinity, we're going to try to make it so you can come to the meetup and hopefully come to the show taping that we're going to be doing there live.
And I will be back for that. That's going to be my first Wednesday back.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay, good. Then in July 9th to 13th, Microsoft's Worldwide Partner Show, which is now called Microsoft Inspire, is happening in Washington, D.C. And we're going to be doing Windows Weekly Live there with some special guests we hear to be announced soon.
You have to go out early to go to the 4th of July in D.C., I hope.
I know, right? Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, right before.
I wonder what the 4th of July is like in Philadelphia.
You know, I was there in 1976. Seriously, yeah.
I assume that was pretty good.
It was pretty good. It was like a big birthday party. It was fun.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we decided to go hang out in Philly for the bicentennial. It was a good idea. I don't remember much, so it must have been really fun.
I have very few memories of Philadelphia, but anyway.
Well, I'm telling you, there's a farmer's market in Philadelphia. You go in there and you will have the best hot, warm pretzel. They dip it in butter. It's the nice little Amish girls.
Back to pretzels again.
Yeah.
The sheer number of times you've mentioned pretzels.
It's
on
the
this
best pretzel I ever had. I still have dreams about it. I fantasize about it. How close to Philly are you? You're not that close.
But an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, really? Wow.
Well,
will you already have moved by the time of Inspire? No.
No. So one of the little tricks behind this move is that it happened so quickly and happened at such a time that we had already booked our home swap, which we are contractually obligated to fulfill. Like, we would have to pay for their plane tickets. So we can't move until after the home swap, which is mid-August.
So they're going to come in your house. They're going to come stay.
Which will have hopefully have been sold.
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to be very confusing. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
All right.
But anyway, back to Inspire. Yeah. If you guys are going to the Microsoft Partner Show, we're going to be doing Windows Weekly Live there and having guests. And I'm also going to be doing a session there about reading the Redmond tea leaves separately.
Ooh.
From that. So
you should wear like a bandana around your head and have a
gypsy Mary Jo.
Yeah. What do you call
that? I like
it. Like a ball.
I thought you were gonna say I should
crystal
be wearing
ball.
Tea leaves.
Crystal,
glad
crystal
you didn't
ball.
Say.
Yeah. Or wear some tea leaves.
You could spread tea leaves around the stage, like instead of rose petals.
Yeah. Great things in your future.
This is why Paul's not marketing.
I see a mobile device in your future.
The future is hazy.
Very cloudy.
It just says capitulate. I don't know what that means.
What fun. You guys are going to do some real traveling. That's great. I'll be here at the home base dialing you in.
Good.
Yeah, but you have an awesome trip coming up.
Yeah, you have a big trip.
I won't see you. I'm going to Machu Picchu. I'm leaving Monday.
Yep.
So I will actually be, I think I'll be in, let's see, we land in Lima Monday night, spend Monday, Tuesday, fly to Cusco Wednesday morning.
What is the time change?
Just 3 hours. It's East Coast time. It's your time.
Is it really the West Coast of
The East, the West Coast is the East Coast. Yeah, it's confusing.
It's East.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So, it's Eastern. So, we'll be in Cusco. And actually,
I don't understand how globes work, but that's fascinating to me.
It's not how you think it is. I know. Look at a map. You'll see.
Yeah.
And then, so we'll be on a train to Machu Picchu right about when Windows Weekly
happens. Nice.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. And then we're going on to the Galapagos in Ecuador after that.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm bringing a big camera.
Yeah.
Taking lots of pictures. I won't be using my 6P for that. I'm gonna bring it. Get some pictures of the iguanas, the tortoises, the blue-footed boobies. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. Well, thank you, Paul and Mary Jo. It's been great.
We have a great trip.
I won't be back.
Yeah,
I
have
think,
an awesome time.
I think we got, I can't remember, is it Megan? Somebody, Jason, Megan, Father Robert will be filling in next Wednesday and the Wednesday after, but I'll be back for your Holland show, your Dutch show.
Great. Nice.
We do Windows Weekly Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1800 UTC if you want to tune in. Or I guess 1 p.m. Machu Picchu time. I was the Foursquare mayor of Machu Picchu 4 years ago. I'm hoping to reclaim my title.
At the very least, meet the guy who usurped you. And
I'm pissed. I was mad. I had it for like 2 months. I kept checking. Yep, still the mayor of Machu Picchu. I figured I'm going to own this one. Some kid comes along and takes it. But you know what? No one uses Foursquare anymore. So
sure.
I have a chance that I could end my days as the mayor of Machu Picchu.
God, we should all have such dreams.
I have a dream. I have a vision, a future plan. You can watch this show live if you wish. We're on Ustream and YouTube Live, twitch.tv/twit, or just go to our website, twit.tv/live. You can find all those streams. But if you can't be here live, you can always get it after the fact just to download a copy. And a couple of ways to do that, twit.tv/ww might be the easiest. If you use a podcast program, just subscribe. Then you know. Then all the mystery is gone. You'll just automatically get a new one. It just happens magically.
All the mystery is gone.
It's already gone.
I agree to that.
It left a long time ago. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. Paul's at Thurrott.com. That's where he hangs his hat. And, of course, his books are at LeanPub.com. And he does the What the Tech podcast with Andrew Zarian on Andrew's Network, which is
Guys from Queens.
The Guys from Queens. Are you still going to be able to do that when you're from Pennsylvania?
Well, I'm from Dedham now.
Right? Okay. You're an honorary.
What I'm worried about is who's going to make Dedham great again when I'm gone.
I know.
That's right.
You've put Dedham on the map. Mary Jo Foley
is going to be a hole.
There's a hole. Mary Jo Foley is at All About Microsoft, her ZDNet blog. And I'm glad to have you back. Welcome back.
Thanks.
We'll be back next week. Well, they will, for Windows Weekly. See you then.